It's the story of a family that found the market and then exceeds in that market. Hi, I'm Ryan Recker. Welcome to this weekend's edition of The Business of Family Business. We're presented by CMA Consulting, and Dan Bean from CMA joins us to tell this story of STL Beds. It's Doug and Dave Belleville. Dave is the founder, Doug the son, on this weekend's edition of The Business of Family Business. So, Dave, where's the origins of STL Beds?
Well, I was working for another bedding store here back in 1984, and I always had the dream of working for myself.
Yeah.
I found I could get along with myself easier than anybody, so I just had to find a product to sell.
So what were you doing? Were you selling? Were you on the floor and people would come in and you would talk to them? And
I was selling bedding retail.
Yeah.
And I liked it, but I thought, you know, this wouldn't be a bad gig.
So you decided to do it on your own.
So I decided to do it on my own. It was just like going to school every day. You know, I studied the business, and a couple of years I went out on my own.
How hard was it for you to start on your own in that industry?
Well, I'll tell you, it made it a lot easier being in the industry. I've always been a believer, never go into a business you haven't been in before, mm-hmm. you know, working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. It saves you a lot of money in startup costs. You know, you know what to buy, what not to buy, how much of it. And there's a lot less experimentation mm-hmm. when you've worked in the industry before you go into it.
Yeah. Was it always STL Beds? Is that what you named it from the start?
Actually, we started out as a waterbed store mm-hmm. in 1986. We did diversify into regular bedding mm-hmm. later on. But initially, we were waterbeds.
Why did you go into waterbeds?
At that time, it was really a booming industry. Mm-hmm. It slacked off. We still sell a lot of waterbeds, but it's just a portion of what we sell today. We concentrate more on conventional bedding.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that, because I don't think I've seen a waterbed in a while, and I was kind of surprised to learn that there's still somewhat of a demand for that. So when people come in, there's some people that I'm sure they're just comfortable with it, and that's what they've always had, and they like that.
We have people who've been sleeping on water beds for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah. Have there been any changes in them in that time?
Oh, yeah. We've seen in the old days, we had the what we called hard side water beds, which mm-hmm. were wooden framed. Mm-hmm. And now we have soft side water beds that look just like a conventional mattress. Mm. You couldn't tell the difference unless you sat on it.
Really?
A lot more customer friendly, easier to move, easier to set up, break down, easier to get in and out of, which is a big issue for older people in particular.
I guess I've never seen this. Not that I want to talk about waterbeds the whole time, but how do you set up a waterbed? Like, what's the setup or installation of a waterbed today?
Well, today on a soft side, it's usually a 20-minute process. Mm-hmm. The biggest part of it is carrying it in. Mm-hmm. On the old hard side waterbeds, there was a lot more labor involved in those, and you were looking usually at about an hour job.
So they come pre-filled with water.
Oh, no.
No.
No. You have to provide your own water.
So what, do you take the garden hose inside? How does it work?
Normally, we ask the people to make sure that they have a water a hose mm-hmm. because it does take some time.
Yeah.
And we don't actually stay for the fill.
Well, with STL Beds, how long were you just in water beds?
We opened in 86, and we really started diversifying in about
93.
I guess about 90. Yeah, about 93. Mm-hmm. We started diversifying.
So, what was that decision like? Why did you decide to diversify in 93?
The market was slowing down. It had peaked, or mm-hmm. it was well beyond peak at that point, and we started diversifying into conventional bedding.
Yeah, and at that point, did you have to move and expand your showcase, or were you able to adapt to your location?
Well, in 84, we did open a larger location, mm-hmm. and we phased out the old store and expanded into the new store, which had about two and a half times the space. Mm-hmm. And we show up to 50 beds now, where we were probably at, about 20 beds before.
Yeah. That's a lot of options for people anymore. I'm sure they get overwhelmed by it
all. Yeah. Yeah, and that is a big factor you have to overcome is there's just so many, you know, people say, well, how do I know what I want? And first thing I tell them is lay on them.
Yeah, that's part
of it. That, you know, I always tell people you don't want to buy a car unless you drive it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same with a bed. You don't want to buy it without driving it in many cases, you know.
So, Doug, when did you first get involved with STL Beds?
I was about 16 years old. Kid needing a job, and dad had one.
So that was it.
That was pretty, it was that simple, really.
What were you doing?
Basically, what I did was delivering installation. I did a little bit of sales, you know, learning, watching him, and dad had a partner back in the day. And, mm-hmm. you know, so I kind of just picked it up the good old-fashioned way, just, you know, on-the-job training.
So you're going out there and you're delivering, and were you keeping pretty busy during that time?
Yeah, it was a good little store. It was a solid business, you know, why the water beds were strong. And it's a lot of fun, a lot of work. You know, you were mentioning setting one of those things up. I mean, you had to carry in a frame that weighed 95 pounds and a headboard that could weigh, you know, a head 100 plus. And
yeah. Were you alone or did you work with someone?
Usually I was helping dad and
yeah.
his partner, Kerry. And,
oh, I see. So yeah. you were making deliveries too?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
I did everything from own the place to clean the restrooms.
Wow. Did you have any employees other than your son?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
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 Well, you're going out there and delivering too.
Yeah.
Wow, you're really hands-on.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to do that? Was there a certain reason for
it? Well, it gave me some exercise.
So yeah?
I'd probably be a couple sizes larger in my clothes by now if I hadn't, you know.
Do you find that over the years, you know, you're 16, you're delivering, did you think that, okay, one day, you know, I'll graduate, I'll go to college, I'll do this, I'll do that, but family business will be behind you at a certain point, or did you always want to get into the family business?
No.
No.
No, this was dad's dream, honestly.
Yeah.
I've told him that 1,000 times, you know, but you know, later on, as we'll probably talk about here, but, it, you know, it really became mine but as well, but I was horrible in school. I was, shh, dad, don't say anything.
I won't.
But no, I was very good at talking. It got me in a lot of trouble at school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I was a natural salesman, I guess, and so I just kind of followed in his footsteps, and next thing you know, I'm out there selling beds, you know, selling dreams.
We've just begun. Doug and Dave Belville from STL Beds continue their story next on the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Family business owners have many decisions to make when it comes time to retirement, when it comes time to transitioning the next generation of the business, or maybe figuring out what that next step's going to be. CMA Consulting, they're here to help with a multidisciplinary team. They'll help your family business unify the next generation and develop them to be effective business owners. But it always starts with the question, what can you do to help our family business? Contact CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting, and you can go to cmaconsult.com. to find out how. It's really easy. It's very friendly. You get to ask the questions you've been wanting to ask, and you'll get to hear the answers you need to hear. CMA excels in helping increase the odds of a successful generational transition and also family harmony. Go to their website, cmaconsult.com, or call them at 314-721-1860. Do it early. It takes time to do this effectively. CMAConsult.com. If you enjoy this story of STL Beds on the Business of Family Business, you'll be happy to know it's online right now at KMOX.com. In the podcast section, look up the Business of Family Business. We continue now with Dave and Doug Belville from STL Beds. Did you go to school after high school?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Nope.
So you just went straight to working.
School of hard knocks, yeah.
Yeah.
It was... Like Dad said, when he was working for the, you know, for the other company that he worked for, you know, it was like going to school every day, and I did that myself.
Yeah, you started paying attention.
Yeah, sure. as much as you can at 16, right?
Yeah. All right. So Dave, let me ask you this: with Doug being your son, when did he start introducing ideas for you at the family business?
He probably by the time he was 18, 19 years old, he was
yeah.
getting more assertive.
Yeah,
and he gave me a lot of input, and we've always sat around and you know, threw ideals out there and throw them at each other, see how
yeah.
what they thought.
How receptive were you to hearing feedback like that?
I never had any problem with it. I mean, some people, I guess it's an ego thing or something. Mm. They don't like it, but me, I liked it.
Yeah,
it made my job easier, you know.
So, Doug, did you always work at STL Beds, or was there a moment where you weren't working for the company?
In 93, I left. The waterbed market was kind of going down, and we were looking to diversify, get into some new ventures. And I ended up working for one of our major competitors here in St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
We learned mattresses and box springs. We thought that'd be a pretty good thing, and learned about some of the brand names and worked for a good company and had a very good manager that Neil, he was fantastic. Taught me a lot about mattresses, and in the meantime, Dad was, you know, kind of looking to expand. And a year or so later, brought that knowledge back, and we expanded in the second store. And what was that, 93 or so?
94. Yeah.
So you were gone for, you said, about a year?
Roughly a year.
Yeah. Okay. And during that time, he's going. You're still working, you still have employees, mm-hmm. and you're starting to transition too. You're starting to find other things to diversify into outside of the waterbeds when he was gone.
Right. Yeah. And him being in the industry for another retailer, that gave me a little more of what was going on across the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't just isolated in what was going on in my own business.
Yeah. And during that time, you're gone and you come back. Was the intention for you to try to bring those ideas over and find ways to expand the family business at STL Beds?
Well, at that point, we weren't really such a niche store.
Yeah.
We were still at that point, you know, the waterbeds had kind of phased out, which was our niche at that time. And we started looking like everybody else, quite frankly. And that's, you know, the business, we did okay.
It was fine for a while.
Yeah, but 06, everything changed for us. Things were really headed south.
Yeah. Let me bring in Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. I want to talk to you about that. More of a specialty type of store. They're looking at water beds, and you can kind of hear how at a certain point when the industry starts to change, that's when you can also see some struggles in the business.
So a small business that starts out, it has to find its appropriate niche in the marketplace. And it usually takes 4 or 5 years for a new startup to figure out how it's going to connect and relate to the marketplace. And one of the best things for a small business to do is to find an underserved niche or niche not served at all by the big players, and then do that because they can carve out their own turf and they got a unique spot in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard for a small business to try to do everything a big business does, be everything to everybody. That's almost a recipe for failure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Today in the bedding industry, in STL Beds, how many different companies make mattresses anymore?
Oh, my God.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
At one time, there was like, what, 500?
Wow.
And
hundreds. And
I would say there's probably at least 100 today or more.
Is that right? So
yeah.
Not as many, but still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you work with finding the right brands to work with, or do they find you?
Well, that's what we've literally went away from the brand mm-hmm. philosophy. We are the brand now, STL Beds,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's really important, especially in today's online place. I don't know about you know, you see all these big names out there with the S's and they've all swallowed each other up, buying each other up, and now you've got about 6 different companies that are down to 2.
Mm.
And I don't think the product is the same. It's not built the same. It's not as heavy. It doesn't last as long. And so we saw an opening there. We learned enough about bedding to know what the good stuff was and what wasn't. You know, for 100 years, we had two-sided mattresses. Those things lasted for 10 and 12, 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've taken all those things out of it that I just mentioned and went to a one-sided design, we're lucky to see a comfort life that goes any longer than, what, 5-6 years, Dan?
Well, the Consumer Report says 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not long at all.
No.
It really isn't.
5 years.
But they put 10-15-year warranties on these things,
mm.
you know? And the warranties are really very misleading because people think that's how long the bed is actually going to last.
Yeah.
When reality, it only covers workmanship and material defects.
Yeah. So when you come back into it, and it's the 90s and you guys are looking to expand some, what were some of the first things you did when you started to, I don't want to say reinvent, but you started to rethink what your business strategies were? Like, what were some of the first things you decided to do in order to, you know, prepare for the future?
I'll tell you, the way we found that out was through blogging. Hmm. We did a lot of blogging, and we listened to our customers. And when they would say that there was something, you know, they were getting a body impression in their bed, we were trying to figure out how to solve that problem. Mm-hmm. If they were replacing a bed because it was 2 or 3 years old already, you know, and they spent $1,000 on it, we wanted to solve that problem. How could they spend $1,000 and maybe get 7, 8 years out of it? And wouldn't you say, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely.
What were some of the hard times in the mattress industry? Because there's got to be times where people just aren't spending money. And because of that, they're probably not going to upgrade things like mattresses, I'm guessing.
Well, when the market crashed in 2008, that's when we got into the internet, and things really took off for us. We actually did better through the down market between 2008 and 2012. We had spectacular business.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
What do you account that for? Because, you know, generally speaking, you would think, all right, things are a little bit rough, so they may decide, well, I'll hold off a couple more years. I can still use it. But at that point, they're still coming out and still spending.
Well, the big thing is we found our niche.
Yeah.
And we took advantage of those, recognized those niches and went after them.
Yeah.
And they were tremendous for us. They're still going.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of, you know, when you're going back to asking about, you know, Dad and listening to my ideas and things like that. He was very receptive. And in fact, I went to a library, three library classes, and learned about the internet and how to market our products online. And I came back, told Dad, I said, hey, this thing might be something to do. And he's like, well, you know, selling mattresses online, how do you think that's going to work out, you know? And you think people are really, you know, going to buy it without laying on it? And, well, you know, you got these big bed-in-the-box kind of guys doing pretty well at that right now in the Amazons and companies like that. So he was right. He was right, you know, taking that chance and seeing if they would click to buy a mattress. And all we had to do was figure out how to get that mattress to California, and we did it.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, talking about the recession in 08, and it seems like they were able to find ways around that too. How does their performance during that time compare to other businesses?
It really stands out. Most businesses in 08, 09, during the Great Recession, they had revenue drops. They lost money. They lost market share. And it was very hard for them. About the only ones that I'm aware of that did well were those that followed a low price strategy. So in a recession, everybody's looking to save money. That works for these guys not to have a low price strategy and to have their business do really well. They did something right in their marketing and in their product selection and how they connected to the marketplace.
This weekend, telling the story of STL Beds, will continue our conversation next on KMOX. I want to thank our guests, Dave and Doug Belleville from STL Beds, stlbeds.com. Also, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. And if you have a great family business story to share, how about you go to cmaconsult.com, send an email to Dan Bean, tell us about your family business, and we might even profile them in a future episode. You're connecting to other states, too. You're thinking about, you know, how can we not just help people here in St. Louis, but you're talking California, you know, other states. You're going to be doing commerce all across the United States. That's a pretty big move. I mean, it had to have taken a lot of planning to figure out how you're going to make that happen.
It was even a smaller city than St. Louis. It was Arnold. I mean, you know, we weren't exactly the hub for organic mattresses, you know. We didn't think that people would come to Arnold for an organic mattress. And in fact, they did. They're coming from, you know, an hour away, 2 hours away, 5 hours away to lay on the bed because they can't find it in the local market.
Yeah. Explain to me organic mattress. So what is an organic mattress?
Well, first of all, it's a mattress that's made out of natural materials, you know, natural rubber, cotton, wool. And we meet the federal government's safety guidelines naturally. We're not using applied chemicals that, you know, a lot of people, you know, we're health conscious today. We we inhale a lot of bad stuff. We're exposed to a lot of bad chemicals, and these mattresses are basically the way beds used to be built 50 years ago before we started saving everybody, you know. But this particular bed is amazing. It's certified organic cotton, certified organic wool, and that's how we meet the federal government's safety guidelines for the fire retardancy. Mm-hmm. The layers on the inside are natural rubber, and we can customize it. So on one side, if a sleeper likes it firm, we can have it all firm on one side. And if the person on the other side likes it soft, we can do that. And you don't get as much disturbance every time the one person turns over. It doesn't you know, disturb the other person and wake them up.
Wow. So when you say we can do that, are you modifying the mattresses there?
Absolutely.
You guys are doing that.
We have them built for us.
Right. The specifications of what the customer
would like. Yeah, the customer comes in and we can put the bed together in any way, shape, or form. And we have basically a template, and we try this and that, and they like this. And then we throw in another that, and you know, and in the end, it's a process of elimination, and it works well.
Yeah,
it works well. And another thing about the sustainable beds is that if a part or a piece goes bad, you can replace that piece. You know, you buy $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 bed or more today, you have to replace the entire bed. In this case, you only have to replace a piece of rubber.
Wow. STL beds, let me ask this about the organic bed. When you lay on it, can you tell a difference? Or is it just mostly the materials by themselves make it stand apart?
It's really the materials themselves.
Yeah.
Now, in the past, sometimes you did have chemical off-gassing that you could smell significantly. Mm-hmm. But today you don't see it to any degree that you did 10 years ago, 15 years ago.
So you said people are specifically coming to you for this. Like, this is what you started to carve yourself out in the market as. This is what made you unique. You were able to get that at STL Beds.
Right, right. In 06, what happened was the federal government said new mattresses, all mattresses had to pass these specific guidelines. Mm-hmm. And we had reached out to one of our suppliers who had been in and told us about these in the past and said, how are you guys getting these natural materials to pass without all these applied chemicals? And they said, we just do it with wool. Hmm. And what's really interesting about that is that you basically have wool sandwiched between two pieces of cotton, and they compress that wool, and that cuts off the oxygen, which raises the ignition temperature and passed the burn test. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a piece of paper. If you tried to light a piece of paper, it just goes up in flames. Mm-hmm. But if you tried to light a stack of newspapers, it's the same principle. The wool being compressed cuts off the oxygen, and it can't ignite. So we pass these new federal standards by naturally using natural materials like wool.
Yeah. What does that do for the production time? So when someone orders a bed, does it take longer to get it because of these ways you're building them?
No. No, not really.
No?
No. Matter of fact, we even keep components in the warehouse where if somebody needs it immediately, we can put together a bed in whatever combination of firmness they want.
How about that? Are you putting beds together?
Yeah, yeah.
You do it all, don't you?
I actually, with these beds that are broken down components, I can I'm 72 years old, and I can deliver a king size mattress.
Is that right?
By myself and put it upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't do it very often.
That reminds me, like Jack LaLanne would go out there and he would do all this stuff and impress everyone. How does that work when someone orders it? Maybe they're not in this general area. How does that work?
Well, we can do it a couple different ways. So specifically, if it's in California, we have shipping companies that we work with, and you know, we've signed contracts with, and they do our delivery for us. We have people that'll do what we call the final mile, where it actually is taken to the home. They'll even carry it inside the home, put it in the, you know, if they just want it inside the foyer or inside a living room, we can do that. Or they want something specific, like put it on a bed frame or haul off an old bed. Those are services we can provide as well, which getting rid of a bed these days is not easy, especially here in St. Louis.
Depending on how old the mattress is, too. Those things can get pretty heavy after
Yeah, they can get pretty nasty, too. So.
Yeah. Well, so you are on the delivery side, or at least you were on the delivery side for many years, you know, when you start off at STL Beds, and you realize that sometimes people, they expect you to show up at a certain time. And when you're not there at that certain time, they get a little upset because they have to wait all day for it. I'm thinking things like cable companies are notorious for things like this. How does that work for you guys? Like when someone sets up an appointment and you tell them a certain time, like what's your procedure for that?
Honestly, this was Dad's philosophy from day one. he didn't like to sit and wait for somebody to show up a half a day, you know, mm-hmm. no more than I'm sure you guys do. Mm-hmm. We've all done it, right?
Yeah.
So, but now he's, you know, we tell somebody 12 o'clock, we're there at 12 o'clock, you know, it's, you know, 3 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock. You know, sometimes we'll do a small window of a half an hour if we're, you know, have a really busy day going, but mm-hmm. we always call before we, you know, just give them a courtesy call and, hey, we're on our way and let them know, you know.
Just like that.
It's like that.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. How about that for customer service? They show up when they say they're going to show up.
You know, Doug hit the nail on the head. I've spent many a day or half a day waiting to see when I'm going to have a service provider come to my home, and it just seems like such a inefficient use of time. So I suspect his clients, his customers really appreciate this,
yeah.
this level of service.
At STL Beds, you probably, you know, when you start to carve out some of the different specialties, it makes it sound like, too, that you can help fit different body types. And, you know, people have certain ways that are comfortable for them. And that really probably helps when they could go to you and find out really what fits them as opposed to something that might not fit them and they just might be settling.
It's more than just getting a sale. Mm-hmm. You know, a really important question to ask somebody is, how'd you sleep last night? You know, and if or was your mattress comfortable? Most people really can't answer that question honestly. And you mentioned it earlier about you know it's one of those things that's kind of put off. It's in the back of our mind. It's mm-hmm. in the bedroom where nobody sees it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's something we have to really you know, it's diet, exercise, and sleep. Those are the three most important things that we need to focus on in our lives. And we happen to our business is based on one of those things.
When you look at the way internet has continued to adapt and you've adapted to it as well, what kind of experience will people find if they go to your website now? What will they find?
The best.
Yeah.
The best experience. Frankly, it's about education.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just talk about a brand name and how much money you've saved and the sale ends on Friday. It's about we address their size.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we get people that come in and they're on their, you know, Dale was mentioning earlier about mattresses. You know, somebody's in on their second or third mattress in as many years, and so we show them what the difference is between our mattress and a competitor's mattress, and we have visuals on our wall. I mean, the box spring, for example. You know, the foundation of every home is the foundation and the footing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same with the bed. We want a good footing underneath that, or a good box spring, good foundation. And if you pick up one of our box springs, for example, a twin extra long weighs 66 pounds on ours and weighs about 25 pounds on one of these brand names.
Mm.
That's not an accident.
Yeah.
They're giving you half the materials, thinner, narrower, no seat edge support. And these things all add up to a product that just doesn't last as long. We try to teach them what to look for, whether they buy it from us or not. We have a little pamphlet that we give them, and then that pamphlet, it asks them, what's important to you? Is it dual comfort? Like, do you want to be able to raise it on your side and lower it on her side, or do you want massage, or mm-hmm. when he turns over, does it disturb her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you sleep hot?
Yeah.
You know, things like that. We address all those issues, find out what their concerns are, and then most of the time we have a mattress that'll fit their needs.
Hmm. What's your guys' website?
It's www.stlbeds.com.
STLbeds.com.
Yep. Beds, plural. Yep.
And I think it's good to see it. You know, that always helps. But if people wanted to drop it and see it for themselves, can they come and see a showroom?
Absolutely. Our showroom is at 1360 Jeffco Boulevard mm-hmm. in Arnold. And we have about 3,000 square foot.
Wow!
That's just our upstairs. We have another 1,000 square foot that's just liquidation for people looking for, you know, some deals for maybe a spare bedroom or
yeah.
guests coming. You know,
happy to continue one more time with Dave and Doug Belleville from STL Beds, also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, who presents this program. It's the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. You've heard this statistic before. 2/3 of family businesses do not make the generational transition. It's just the reality, meaning that when it's time for a family business owner to step down, retire, they have a decision to make. Some of them are able to identify and develop a successor, but do they really spend enough time with it, or do they spend any time at all? Have they unified the next generation? These are all very important questions, and these are the types of questions CMA Consulting will ask to help develop, unify, and align the generations. Look them up online, cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com, or you can give them a call at 314-721-1860. When was the last time the members of your family discussed how to apply insights into the business? The earlier you start, the better your chances at the outcome you want. cmaconsult.com, cmaconsult.com, the website every family business should know. CMAconsult.com. Again, a big thanks to STL Beds for coming in this weekend to talk about not only what they do, but the background of how they do it. Dave and Doug Belleville, along with Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, presents this program. And if you have a great family business story to share, reach out to Dan Bean. Send him an email at CMAconsult.com. How long have you guys worked together now? How many years?
Since the beginning.
Since the beginning. Yeah. What's your working relationship like?
Oh, we've screamed and hollered at each other occasionally, but not as much anymore. We've kind of mellowed.
So you've gotten used to each other, each other's styles, I should say.
Yeah, we've grown up.
You know, to mention something here, one of the smartest things I think we've ever done is we hired a business coach. And she is spectacular. Kathy Sexton is her name, and she's with the Productivity Experts. But she has sat down, helped us get organized, you know, let us focus on what it is that we do, which is the selling of mattresses, educating our customers, you know, getting the marketing together, things like that. And it really did. When we started seeing that uptick in business, we didn't have any good plans and processes in place, and that was a really, really good decision we made. I highly encourage people to do that for themselves.
You know, Dave, you said you're 71? 72. Any plans to retire in the future?
Well, I'm down to about 2 days a week. I'm phasing out.
Phasing out. What do you do for those 2 days? You're not delivering mattresses.
I'm probably more gopher than anything.
Yeah.
I go in, I look, and I see what can I help the guys that frees up a lot of their time.
Yeah.
Whether it's hard or easy, I don't particularly pay much attention to.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned about how I can free up their time.
I gotcha.
So I can keep them on the floor or working on things more important.
That makes sense.
We just don't let him lift those 150, 200-pound mattresses.
Yeah, they don't let me lift 100-pound mattresses, 200-pound.
Yeah. It's probably for the best. You want to keep coming in for those 2 days. You don't have to worry about hurting yourself, you know.
Right.
You have to drop down, something like that.
Yep.
So it sounds like you've started a lot of the leadership transitioning. You've been handing a lot off to Doug, and that seems to make a lot of sense. Is there ownership transition too?
We're set up pretty much where we want to be.
Yeah.
I have trust and everything, and I've got pretty well set up where it'd be an easy transition.
So what happens in St. Louis a couple of years back? IKEA comes in, you know, they have some mattresses they sell, or, you know, I hear on podcasts where you could roll the mattress out of a box or whatever. It's like airtight, whatever, and it comes in and you have to, like.
Sure.
So what happens in the industry when there's companies like that that start, you know, start dabbling into selling a product similar in the same industry, I should say, at least, as what you guys are selling?
Oh, that's a great question. And honestly, they're not dabbling. I from a very, very reliable source that's big in the industry in mattresses, they're saying this bed in the box type of design within 7 to 10 years could be the norm.
Really?
Yeah, wow. It really could be the norm. For storage reasons, for delivery reasons. I mean, seriously, the customers can take this thing with them. The box is that condensed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that benefit has what I feel is some real drawback to it. You're taking for example, queen size mattress is 60 by 80, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's maybe 12 inches thick. We're going to take that mattress. We're going to put it in a vise.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to smash it down to 1 inch thick, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fold it and roll it and shove it in a teeny tiny box.
Yeah.
And we're going to leave it there for heaven knows how long,
mm-hmm.
right? And most of these mattresses don't even have born-on dates. Mm-hmm. You know, Anheuser-Busch over there has got born-on dates on their beer, right? So you don't even know how long it's been left in the box. The setup instructions, it actually tells you not to leave the mattress in these boxes very long, or they could take a permanent set. In other words, not bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for 100 years, we told you, don't bend it, don't fold it, don't do all these things that are damaging to it. But now we can crush it down to about a ninth of its original size.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure it's going to be a good thing for the industry.
It won't be a good thing for the consumer.
It definitely won't be a good thing.
It'll be a good thing for the retailer, but not for the consumer.
Well, there, and that's a good point. For me to ship a bed in the box is $40 to $60. Mm-hmm. To ship a mattress in a normal size, queen size mattress box can cost $200 to $400 mm-hmm. plus the $25 box. Mm-hmm. So you can see real quick that it's beneficial for the big retailers, you know who the biggest ones are online, I'm mm-hmm. sure, to do something like that. And, you know, if you're a stockholder, well, you're probably pretty happy. But if you're a mattress owner, maybe not so much.
So how do you combat that?
IKEA has its place. Mm-hmm. It is not a high-end retailer like we are. We're mid to high end. Mm-hmm. We're very focused on quality. I think IKEA, you know, with that box type design and others, the Caspers, Lisa's, stuff mm-hmm. like that. They're purple beds. They're, you know, they're I think maybe more of a college student yeah. spare bedroom type of customer.
The young people in a startup mode.
Yeah,
that's what they're.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
They're not for everybody. Mm-hmm. But when if people have a negative experience with something like that and a repeated negative experience, you know, go out and look at reviews and not on the company's website. Go to third parties like the Better Business Bureau yeah. and Angie's List and you know all these you know Google. There's plenty of you know type in the name of the retailer and reviews. And all of a sudden, you start seeing a picture come together. Mm-hmm. You know, there's great sites out there like whatsthebestmattress.com and sleeplikethedead.com and Mattress Underground and they'll give you some insight and things to look for and mm-hmm. so you can make those good decisions.
Right. Sounds like when you have the customization, you're able to help probably a wider variety of people. And each person probably has certain needs. I'm sure there's someone that may be plus size or heavy duty that would have an instance where they are specifically coming to you because they need a better mattress. They need something that's more sturdy for them.
As far as mattresses that are heavy duty, I think you really need to take a look at what's inside of the bed. And once you do that, you really get a good idea of how this thing's going to perform. Our customers in the last, you know, 30 years are not, you know, not the average male's 180 typically, and the average female is somewhere around 150, and we're seeing larger clientele, and mm-hmm. the mattresses are not performing, and we, you know, they come in and the mattress is shot in 3, 4, 5 years, and they say, well, what can I do? And say, well, don't they build beds like they used to? And mm-hmm. I say, well, yeah, actually they do, mm-hmm. and so we started looking for those small mom and pop manufacturers that still built beds that old fashioned way. And they use that higher density foam and all that steel and all that wood, and they make it two-sided. So not only can you rotate it head to toe, mm-hmm. but you can flip it over. And it's as important as rotating the tires on your car and keeping them properly inflated so mm-hmm. your tires don't wear funny. Well, if you never rotate your mattress and you never flip it over, well, your body weight's between your shoulders and your hips. Mm-hmm. So that part of your mattress is going to look like a nest, mm-hmm. and it becomes very uncomfortable, very unsupportive, and it happens quicker for our plus-size customers. So we tried to address their needs using those better materials. But, you know, it's not just for plus-size people. I don't want to pigeonhole myself mm-hmm. here, because the fact of the matter is everybody wants a bed that'll last, a good, long-lasting bed that's durable. And so our customers that are just fed up with the cookie cutter designs seek us out and say, well, you know, if it holds up for somebody for it's, you know, 250, 300, 350 pounds, well, my gosh, it'd probably hold up for me too. And mm-hmm. so we say, well, sure it would. And so we show them and introduce them to these heavy duty mattresses, and these Medicoil heavy duty mattresses are amazing. And if the people don't have the ability or they're not healthy enough or strong enough to flip them over, they make a super heavy-duty one-sided version as well that are even power-base friendly. So they can sit up if they need a little bit of elevation for their head. Perhaps they have acid reflux mm-hmm. or they have to elevate their feet above their heart, you know, mm-hmm. things like that. Those power bases allow us to do those kind of things.
Wow. You know, you go to the website and people wanted to check it out. Do they have samples, examples of what you're talking about on stlbeds.com?
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You go into our section for mattresses and you'll see everything there from two-sided mattresses to organic to heavy-duty mattresses. You just mm-hmm. click the appropriate selection and and get ready for your to be have your mind blown.
Do you have any kids?
I do not. We, nope. Well, I have a little dog. We are dog lovers.
So, dog lovers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Callie.
That's good. People actually, again, wanted to see this in person. They wanted to understand what you're talking about. Where can they go to see this?
Well, visit our Arnold showroom. It's at 1360 Jeffco Boulevard down in Arnold, and we have a wonderful little showroom down there. You can test rest our different mattresses, you know, the waterbeds. Like, nobody's doing waterbeds anymore. Yeah. The hard sides and the soft sides. We have the organic mattresses we talked about, the heavy duties. And we're really proud of the two-sideds. You know, everything's kind of gone to the one-sided design to save money. And we still build beds the old way with two sides on them.
Yeah.
We think it's the best way to do it.
It's one of those weird things with mattresses anymore. You're right. When you realize, you know, you change the sheets or whatever, and you think, oh, I haven't flipped the mattress in a while. And you're like, wait, you can't.
Right.
Yeah. You can't. You're like, it catches you. If you're used to doing it for a lifetime and then they stop doing it, it takes you by surprise when you think, oh, I got to do it. Well, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, I want to get your thoughts on the story here today.
This is a very good story of how a family in business finds a clear niche in the market and then becomes an expert at meeting the needs of the customers in that niche. Focus helps achieve business results. It's smarter for a smaller organization to focus on a niche and do it very well rather than trying to be everything to everybody like the big providers in the marketplace do. So St. Louis Beds clearly has found a way to use its brick-and-mortar location along with the internet to drive business results. G1 and G2 are working well together. They have an exit plan. I suspect Dave and Doug sleep well at night, and it's a very good story to bring to the airwaves.
What's your slogan at STL Beds?
It's STL Beds, we deliver dreams.
You deliver dreams.
We do every night.
Yep.
STLbeds.com. Dave and Doug, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story on the business of family business.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to us.